I hope it is as encouraging for you as it is has been for me. I'm really enjoying my time. I've been in excellent company. I've been overfed. I was mentioning that I might have to walk back home to make up for all this good food. But I've been really enjoying it. And I sure hope that I can encourage you a little bit compared to what I've had as far as encouragement so far. If you'll allow me tonight, I'd like to take a few minutes before I get into the lesson, just to share with you a little bit of the work in Sudbury. I know you are well aware of it. You had some that have visited with us. Bob has preached, and there are some reports that were given. But along with that, I'd like to give my personal outlook on that. As I was typing up some of the points this afternoon, I was getting almost nostalgic. I was missing them already. It is a wonderful work that we are involved in, because if you can see on the map where Sudbury is, it's in the middle of nowhere as far as Church of Christ goes. And it's amazing for me to wake up every morning and know that I have a family somewhere in the middle of nowhere where we can pray to God, we can go to bed at night thanking Him and go to bed at peace. Every time we sit around the Lord's table, or our table, which is the Lord's table, and we can give thanks. That was a dream that I had when I became a Christian. It was kind of a hard thing for me to imagine coming out of the world, and imagine having a wife that would be faithful to God, raise up children in this kind of world. But it's happening. And I'm so thankful for the Lord. And the Lord has used all of you in different ways to encourage that work, and I want you to know that. For those who are not aware of the work, I'll tell you a little bit of how it came about. I had become a Christian, and it was 18 years ago, in February. And I went and I moved, it was in another town, and I moved to Timmins, where I was born. I was in college. And I moved back there to help with the small group that was there. And pretty well, right away, preacher that was there moved away, and then they said, anybody willing to preach? And there was just another man, and that was me. So they asked me to preach for the first time, and I thought I had about an hour's worth of preaching, and after 7 minutes I was done. So I just started over again. I did it all over again. But they were really good with me on then. They just appreciated everything I did, and I just tried to preach from the God's Word. I wasn't worried about how I was going to do that, because I didn't believe that people came to hear me. I always was of the conviction that they came to hear the Word of God. And I always take that seriously. So that's what keeps me coming up back every time for another sermon. There was a lot of ups and downs in Timmins. And the highlight of Timmins, is what I could say, is that my family is still here. And there's a lot of brethren that have heard the gospel, but have not stayed faithful. So in the last year, it was getting pretty tough. We were my family and two other people. And I had met a guy, a gentleman that was in Sudbury, that was preaching with the congregation over there. And there was a difficulty. They weren't seeing things like he had problems with scriptural issues, and they were involved in things that they ought not to. And as we would travel to my in-laws, we would stop there and have services. And I met him there. And I knew that he was new. His name was Dan LaMarche. As some of you know him. Well, after a while, we studied together, and Dan realized that there's something wrong. So from the visits that we did down here, we were both established. We were in a much stronger way. Dan saw that what was involved there, he knew something was wrong, but he didn't know what. And he tried to work with the church there, and after 6 months, he couldn't do it. So he ended up worshiping in his own home with his mother, who was 86 or 85 years old. We're going to talk about her in a little bit. So after a while, we were getting together, and we had him to work together, and we were trying to encourage one another. And it came to a point where we said, well, if the work is going to work, if the work is going to grow, we need to do something. So we got decided that both of us would decide to say, okay, well, are we moving together? Are we going to another work? Are we doing whatever? So as a result, we decided that we're going to go to Sudbury, where Dan was, and start the work in the valley, because he had tried to do some there and there was interest there already. So we, as a result of that, Larry Fuller also saw from Whitney with another town, and he decided, well, let's go there, because he was a lone man with you know, working, and it was difficult for him also. So we pooled our resources and we moved to Sudbury. We had three men able to preach and establish the work. Now that was great. It was the greatest thing that we've ever done. I still believe that it was good. It was such an encouraging thing. So that's how the work at Sudbury started. So we have moved there. It's going to be 2 years in July. And so Larry and his family moved to Sudbury. And we moved Friend Timmons. And then Dan was already there. So we established the work there. We are worshiping in a building that I think there was pictures that were shown where we were. So it's very good. We worship every week. And it's composed of six families so far. We've got six women, three men, and eight children. Let me just tell you about a little bit. We're going to start with the oldest, getting to the younger. I received a phone call one day. We had advertised in the newspaper that we were meeting in the valley, which is a suburb of Sudbury. And the congregation that was already there is in town. So there's a lady that has this weak voice, and she was really shy, and she said, "Are you the Church of Christ?" I said, "Yes." So she asked some questions, and you can see that she was shy, and I said, "If you need anything, if I can pick you up," and she wasn't sure, she didn't know, and I said, "But we would love to have you visit." Her name was Claire. Well, Claire shows up, and she was a little bit apprehensive. She wasn't sure about that. So we were trying to make her feel as comfortable as we could. And she kept coming. And she kept coming. And she decided that she enjoyed that. But you could see that it was a distance. Well, she came for a few months. And when Bob and Sandra came and visited, there was something that happened there that gave her a lot of confidence. And just to show you the value of having a spectrum of people. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about some young, some families, and some older Christians, faithful Christians, how that impacts the people that come into the church. We didn't have that. Mrs. LaMarche had been a Christian only 7 years, and she wasn't only coming on Sunday mornings. But when Bob and Sandra came, she felt like, okay, these people we have something in common. She felt so much comfortable. She was able to talk, and she felt understood. And all of a sudden, she changed. And there was no way that we could have done that. And I am so thankful that that happened. Well, she's everybody's mom now. She doesn't say hi to you. She gives you a hug. She doesn't say bye to you. She'll give you a hug. If you go visit her, she'll give you a hug. And if you don't, she'll call you. "I need to give you a hug." And that's the way she is. And she's just the greatest little... You just love her. You cannot love her. And she has not... And she said that, "I have never studied that way before." She has her book. And she puts it in front of her. We got a table just for her. And she writes the notes down. And she'll write the verses. And I kind of picked up on some of the signs. When you see the eyes going like that, I got to back up. And then I got to say it again. And then I get the thumbs up and we keep going. And she's just been the encouragement that I'm just so glad. So I just wanted you to know that how that encouragement is that you guys have in different ways. For Bob and Sandra to have come to Sudbury, it needed everybody's support. So that's just one example. You know, she does. She gets these little tricks, and she's got the kids in her hands. She can do whatever she wants with any kid. And I'm telling you, she's got those kids sitting down listening. Because at the end of the service, she's got a bag full of goodies. And they all line up. "You've been good this day?" "Yeah, you've been good." So they all get it. We've got the best crew we've never had in years. And that's just little things that she does. We just think she's the greatest. Mrs. LaMarche is Dan's mother. She's a success story, one that I hold dear to my heart. When Dan became a Christian, she didn't think that was funny at all. And she thought she was really upset because it cost him so much. And she thought he had gone over the edge. And it took him years to try to teach his mother. But can you imagine baptizing your 79-year-old mother? And she's osteoporosis. And she's sick. She's aching all over. and you're grabbing your mother and you're baptizing your mother in the waters of baptism. Dan did that. And she is the greatest thing. She's got the sense of humor that'll get you rolling on the floor. Unless you don't understand French, then it won't mean much to you. But she is something else. She's been a Christian only 7 years. And I'm telling you, it's going to be hard for you to get up away from the conversation that you'll have with her. You can sit there for hours and you just listen to what she says. And just so much wisdom. We've had news lately that Sister LaMarche will not be with us much longer. The doctor has ordered her to be admitted to the hospital. Her kidneys have failed, or just on the verge of failing. They don't work all the time. So she sat with her children and she said, "I don't want you to do that." She says, "I've had enough time here. I'm ready. And I'd like to stay home." And she's going to wait it up. And we're glad for her. Now what a beautiful thing it is to have that peace. And now when I say that she's a success story for me, is because I still haven't opened the Bible with my mother. She still hasn't read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And we need to pray for her and my dad. But it's not over. We still got a few years if the Lord wills. When Larry and Kelly moved, they had taken a house as an apartment because the house that they bought wasn't empty yet. And just behind the house, there was another family. And the lady's name was Krista. And she had three little kids, same age as Jasmine. So their backyards kind of connected. So they ended up playing together. So Larry and Kelly met her and they sat her down. And then they found out, "What are you here for?" And they told her, "Well, we moved here for the church." And they said, "Oh." So as a result of that, they sat down and they studied the Bible. Well, after a few weeks, Krista was baptized. And we had our new convert just shortly after we got there. Well, Krista is a special lady. There was difficulties with the relationship that she had with her home. And the children were really excited in the real sense of the term. But she's hanging in. Since the time we've met her in a year and a half, the relationship with her husband is much better. They're back together. The children are sitting down. They just can't wait to get Claire's little gifts. And they're good. She has actually been added to the three ladies that are preparing for the Sunday school program. And that fills a lot of things at the same time. She studies, she gets the lessons, and she gets confidence in teaching. And she's actually teaching her children. And it's been good. It's been really, really good. One of the ladies that was with us in Timmins before we left was Natalie and her two little guys. Some of us have met her. Some of you have met her. Well, there's only one way that I can describe Natalie, and that's courage. Courage. She has got a lot of courage. Let me tell you about Natalie. 18 years ago, when I became a Christian, in Timmins, John Haynes was studying with a lady. And that lady kept talking about her daughter. And she was baptized, but the lady kept saying, "Oh, I wish I could get my daughter to listen." And we were hoping, we were praying, you know, and her daughter's called Natalie. And we were praying for Natalie. And every time we had a chance, we had a gospel meeting, we invited her to come. Well, finally Natalie came, and after a while she was baptized. And she was faithful. She was strong. She got married with a Christian. But all of a sudden her mother fell away and has gone to the other extreme of sin. We're to the point where Natalie couldn't have anything to do with her mother. And that was hard. Because Natalie came from a kind of a broken, dysfunctional kind of home where her mother could have been a good encouragement. If you have a daughter and a mother who are Christians, that's a valuable thing. So she had that on her side. Well, she got married and she moved away. And her and her husband, and she had two little boys. And not long after a couple of years, a few years, I got a telephone from Natalie that she wants to study the Bible. Well, we got together, and she was away, so we visited. And you can see that there was some difficulty, so she moved back to Timmins so we can work together. And there was the family had broken up, and we were trying to fix that up. And so just before we moved, she was in attendance with us. So she has been full of hardships, but she has been strong. There was a lot of chance that she could have left. She had every reason not to stay, but she's still there. And that tells a lot about her. And we got to learn from her. She teaches me sometimes about long suffering and how that you got to get up. It's not when you fall down that makes a difference. It's when you get back up. And she tells me that. The challenges are great for Natalie. Ever since we've been to Sudbury, the hope that it was that we get together and we were going to be stronger as far as leadership goes and the man, we were going to work with the husband. Well, what that did is that it just concretized him in saying, I don't want any of this. And she suffered a divorce. So it's been a tough time for Natalie. But one of the things that she always remembers is the visits that we had this summer with Marcia and Kim. And she talks about them all the time. She asks how she's doing. And sometimes she gets a note from them, or she calls them. And it's somewhere else that she can get a contact with. So distance doesn't have much to do now. That's another way that you've helped with the work. I thank you for that. And those little boys will thank you one day for that too. Well, we've got Dan LaMarche. I'm going to have a little hard time to talk about him without choking up. The only word that comes to my mind is rock. This man is a rock. And what I mean by that is that he's immovable. He is a special character that I have not met anybody like him before. He has lost everything for his faith. His family was torn away from him because his wife didn't agree with what he was doing. And I'm telling you, torn away is the right term. He was not allowed to see them. He's not allowed, and there's tricks and games being played. It's the disaster of divorce. It's just, there's no wonder why God hates it so bad. And, you know, his constant answer to all these things, whether they are so crushing or heartbreaking, I have a hard time watching him go through it. And all he says to me is always trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. He tells me that all the time. And it just kills me to watch that. But he goes through it. Every day is a new day. Every day is a day for the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind that that man is living for the Lord. And his hope is that the children are in his hands, not the devil's. And every day, he says, one day, they'll be okay. It's not because I've got the power or I've got this or I've got that, because obviously I don't have it. But he has never, never said, why is this happening? He says, further along, I'll know all about it. He may be a rock, but his heart is nothing like a rock. He's got the biggest heart that I've ever seen. When we decided to move to Timmins, he thought, man, God is real for sure. He was alone meeting with his mother. And all of a sudden, there's a family moving down here. And he was so excited about that. Well, we decided to build a house. When he saw that, he quit his job so he can help me build the house. I said, you don't have to do that. He says, buddy, whatever it takes. And he doesn't have a problem with that. He left his job. We built the house in 8 weeks, and they were begging to have him back. Dan is a special guy everywhere he is. He is the manager of the floor there, and it's a manufacturing plant where they build windows, and I believe it's the biggest one in Sudbury. He's replaced 3 guys with his production, and he'll never admit to this. He doesn't do anything. He's the kind of guy, you know. No, it's nothing. So he saw, and when Larry had this situation happen to him where he wasn't able to do the work, we got together and we said, well, how are we going to be able to, we got to make sure that nothing is lost here. We got to make sure we pick up the pieces. He goes to his job and he says, I need a day off a week. They look at him. Well, he says, I'm just saying, can you do it? If not, then I'll have to leave. Well, right away, they said, no problem. And he's still doing the same thing in 4 days that he did in 5 days. Someone asked me, he says, how, how, How is that possible that a man can have those conditions? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's all he's going to tell you. He won't tell you it's because he's good. He'll tell you trust in the Lord. Whatever it says. That's the kind of man he is. He takes care of his aged mother and considers it an honor and a privilege. Every time. He loves it. And sometimes he tells me some of the stories. I said, oh, you poor man. But he just laughs at it. And he just thinks it's the greatest thing because he's got another day with her. He's the kind of man that does things behind the scenes so nobody finds out. Yet he'll never tell you if you need something. It kills me. I've got to be on him all the time. Do you need anything? No, you're fine. You know, you got to watch him falling and then you'll see when he'll need a hand. Special guy. He's always there for encouragement. When he sees that you need a laugh, he'll make you roll on the floor. And also reminds you, when you have these pity parties, that we're not here for a party. We're here to work. And I need that. That's Dan. As far as the Fuller family, you are well aware, if for those who are getting the reports, I've heard that there's a lot of prayers being offered. Sometimes we just don't understand why things happened, why things are going on. I sometimes question, I wonder, why now? You know, everything was okay, everything was working fine, we were getting ready. Well, we can't do that. The Lord knows, and farther along, we'll know all about it. Larry has been, it's been 8 months, I've calculated, it's been 8 months now, and he has not left the hospital. He has had brain surgery. He had a tumor on the brain stem. It's been removed. And there was no cancer. And they've got it all. And so finally, there was supposed to be a four-day recovery. And it's been 8 months. And he's just starting now for the last few weeks to get out of bed. But the last few weeks have been really progressing. And we've been encouraged. He's walking with a walker. He's getting up by himself. The therapist has helped him go on his knees and on his hands, on his own, and then being able to get up the same way. So you can see that in case he falls, he's going to be able to do that. He still has a tracheotomy in the feeding tube. But at least he's stable and he's getting some strength. So we're really excited about that. But the part that excites me the most is the visit I had the Friday before I came here. He had just came over a kind of scary ordeal. It was a Tuesday of that week where the family was called in the middle of the night because they didn't know if he was going to make it. And so finally, by the time they got there, there was a lot of blood that was taken away. And they were afraid that something found in the blood. And said, we'll know tomorrow. And it was coming out as tracheotomy. Well, the next day when Kelly and Mooney showed up, he was speaking. He had not spoken since then. And you can talk and you can hear his voice. He used to type everything up. So somehow something unlodged and his swelling had gone down. So you know, sometimes we think it's the end and it's the beginning. So we were so excited about that. Well, by the time Friday came, I had talked with him and I could see that he had emotion and he was alert and he was able to talk. I said, how you doing? He said, I want to go home. And I thought, man, I guess, buddy. I was so glad to hear him say that. And he was encouraged to say that we're going to get out of here. And he says, I want to preach. I want to go back to preaching. So my heart was so encouraged when I saw that, and so was him. I asked him, I said, is there anything you want me to tell the brethren for you? And this is what his answer was. He says, thank you for the prayers. Keep praying. There's a lot of power in that prayer. And we need to keep praying. And he'll need those. Well, we're really excited about that. The family, it appears, that is handling it the best that they can. There's been a lot of changes in the family. I mean, I don't know how you can prepare for something like that. You can mentally expect it somehow, but they seem to be doing all right. And we're going to be praying for them and that things will continue to go well. And the other family is my family. And if I could tell you how well we're doing a lot better than we deserve. We're doing well. I've got a wonderful wife. I'm living a faithful life. I love the Lord. And I've got beautiful brethren all around me. And I've got beautiful girls that look just like their mother. And they're amazing. Boy, they're amazing. I won't go into it. I won't be able to do the lesson. But they are special people. My girls are... We've been discussing commitment. And we've been discussing blessing. And we've been discussing conditions on the blessings of God. And we've been discussing sin and the impact it has on us. And when sin is our life, then the Lord is not in with us. And we need to make sure that we're right with Him. And you can see in their eyes that the cost is so high, even at that age. And I understand that. But I want them to make their decision. I want them to be able to understand that they have to have a relationship with their God. And I know that they will. My Lord willing, if the time is allowed, and we'll continue to pray. Pray for my family. Because there's a lot to do. I'll tell you something about the influence that you can have. There are three girls. There are five girls that have come and visited with us. And a fine young man that I kind of took to. But they won't let me keep them. I don't know why. What's up with that? And they have had an influence on my girls. They have painted the picture in their minds of good young women. I'll tell you, you don't see that on TV. You don't see that in the newspaper, and you don't see that in the schools up there. You only read about them. It's a little bit like elders and angels in our end. You read a lot about them, but you never see them. Good girls are like that. Be good girls. You've got the situation that you can be good girls. And be good girls all the way through. Not only when your mom and dad is there. So that you can bring up good girls to help my good girls. And that's going to happen. And that's how the work works. That's the influence that you have. Everyone here. You have a rich wealth of blessing being here. And I don't hold it against you. I am so proud that that is there for us to have. And I'm glad that I'm able to work for the Lord up there. I got to tell you, preaching was not something that I chose to do. It chose me. So it's pretty hard to say no. It's the Moses story that kind of blew it for me. He had to go. And I preach because I believe that it's going to bring others to heaven. So thank you from everybody over there. Thank you for that. And if I'm in your heart and you see that you can encourage the brethren, whether it's in Sudbury, whether it's somewhere else, don't underestimate what you can do. A card, a call, a prayer. Just call, find out, send a letter. I have a shoebox at home, and I call it my encouragement box. And all through the years, they've got these fifth and sixth graders or second and third graders that they would send cards to encourage the preachers abroad. That's funny when I read that. I'm abroad. I didn't think I was that far off. But I got these cards, I tell you. Sometimes I need those cards. And thank you, Mr. Dennis. I don't even know the little guy. I've never met him. Or the little girl saying, "We're so glad that you're preaching the gospel." Little third, second, and third graders do that. You never underestimate the power that has. A preacher one time, I went to visit a church, and they wanted me to. The preacher came to Timmins, and he asked me, "Is there anything you need?" And I said, "Well, I don't need anything now, but sometimes I different things." He says, "Well, we'll give you $100 a month." And that preacher was smarter than I thought, because I was getting that check, and I was preaching in Timmins. And every time I saw the word Southside Church of Christ, something happened when I saw that. Something happened when I saw that check. I said, "Oh, that's right. I'm not alone. That's right, they're there for me." It wasn't the check. I could have thrown the check out and kept the letter. But when I see the stamps with the American flag, that reminds me there are brethren out there that are there for me. And when you talk about the cloud of witnesses, you're up in the clouds for them. You're up in the clouds for Natalie and Larry I'm telling you. Don't forget that. I'm not trying to lift you up or making you feel good. I'm just telling you the influence that we all have toward each other. And it just means so much to me. And I'm hoping it's going to encourage you a little this day.